me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
I gotta do that shit again. You know what it is? I was testing it. Yo, we're on the end of peeing the motherfucker. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Let me do that again. Cause the beginning, this is your first time on the show, and I want you to hear the whole thing.
Is it Maceo, hit it on the one.
What did you say, nigga?
That's your favorite. So your favorite part is. That's my favorite part too. That's from a song called Three Little Putos from
Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill, yeah. I just love that part. So I extract. I just love that shit. Anyway, yeah. So it's your first time on the show, so I had to. First of all, what happened was I was checking the audio levels. And so I had played that already, and then I hit a pause instead of stop, and so when I went to hit play, it went from the last point part that I was on. Anyway, it's Thursday night. You know what time it is? 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or thereabouts. Midnight to East Coast Standard Time or thereabouts. You haven't paid your motherfucking gas bill. Your electricity bill's about to be cut off. You haven't eaten in about 3 weeks. Your rice milk is expired, but you're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio. That's right. And I'm your host with the most, with the breakfast toast and all that shit, Nestor Rodriguez. And I'm here to serve your shit some, you know, serve you motherfuckers some intelligence. You know what I mean? Some quadrants of knowledge.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean?
Quadrants.
Quadrants of fucking pellets of knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
It's one more than three.
You know what I mean? Foop. Foop. There it is. So what's up, man?
Good to be here, man. Thank you.
Word the fuck up, man. Last time we saw each other was when I did your podcast. But we were talking about you're from Chicago.
Yes.
Chicago, big up to Chicago. Hold
Chi-town.
On a second.
Town.
I got to give a little big up to Chicago cuz I'm
You got a thing, you got an effect?
Well, no, I'm actually a big fan of Chicago. Big up Chicago, you motherfucker. Shit. I love Chicago. Straight up.
You did like a little Rasta. Brah, brah.
Big up your bomba clan, Chicago man, Chi-town.
Brah, 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 brah.
You know, I do love Chicago. You're from Chicago, and I was about to go to Chicago last.
You went, right?
Yes, last fall, and you were so fucking gracious and really cool. You know, call hit up my boy if you want to do some time at this club. Unfortunately, I got there. I was fucking jet lagged. Rosemary, you know, I was at her disposal, but I got the traffic from O'Hare.
Oh, forget
to,
it.
To where I was at, it was anyway. It just didn't work out, man. It would have been nice to hit one of those clubs.
When you go back. Set it up. Go for back late June. You get a taste of Chicago.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And but the sad part, because when we were on your show, we were talking about Spanish food. We were talking about that place at Borinquen.
Well, and it's closed. Borinquen, yeah, it's closed.
Borinquen, yeah. So we're talking about fucking rice and beans and this sandwich so you were telling me about.
Oh, the jibarito.
El jibarito, which is roast pork.
And you were like, that's a peasant farmer. And I'm like, I understand.
El jibarito is a peasant farmer. By the way, you're Puerto Rican and Irish, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Puerto Rican and Irish. So this.
But if those of you who are looking in the camera right now, clearly what's happening in this area of my face is almost entirely Irish.
You would never know. But you were telling me about the jibarito, which is roast pork, lettuce and tomato, some mayonnaise. It's almost like a sandwich.
Yeah.
But it's made with two green fried plantains,
yes.
Right? So you told me about this shit, and I was like, wow, I got to check it out. But then we looked it up, and it closed. And then, ironically enough, December or January, I think around that time, because I made two perniles. I made two roast porks, which we have a date. I'm definitely going to make one for my 50th. When I come back, you'll be invited. When I come back,
you're going to roast the whole pork?
Two of them.
The whole pig?
Pork shoulder.
Oh, gotcha. Pork shoulder.
Just so you can, you take tongs and the meat just pulls off the bone. And we'll make a jibarito. But the thing is that I was clearing out my recipe of binder of Puerto Rican cooking.
Uh-huh.
And I had this best 10 sandwiches in America. Remember? I took a picture of it. And
that's
one of them
right.
was the fucking restaurant. That you
I don't understand how it's fucking closed. It was happens. A pillar of the neighborhood. I don't get it,
happens.
Man.
It happens.
My boy Monty actually turned that place on to me. I'd always seen it. I never went in.
Well, it happens, dude. You know what it is? You have a nice restaurant, ethnic restaurant in a neighborhood, and all of a sudden it gets gentrified. The rents get fucking jacked up. And
what I loved about it was a corner spot. It wasn't nice. I mean, it was nice, but it was a corner spot.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly,
like
yeah.
literally like folding tables tablecloths on there.
You have to bring your own napkins and shit.
Well, you just got down, man. You know, you went and there was an old lady making the food.
Well,
that was it.
That's Puerto Rican, right?
That was it.
See, in my neighborhood in New York, in El Barrio, we have Dominican restaurants and Puerto Rican restaurants. And I'm a big fan of Dominican cooking because they make the beans like my grandmother did. You know what I mean? So, like, nice, red, juicy, flavorful beans. You've had Cuban beans, right?
Cuban
black beans, where they're like, you know, the soupiness of them is slightly thick. It's thickened. Ooh. So it's almost the way the beans are prepared, how they're stewed, some of the bean juice kind of like gets into the broth. And it's not soupy, watery broth. It's nice and thick.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a little texture to it.
Oh, and you fucking eat it. And that's how you know the fucking Cuban beans are authentic. And the same thing with Dominican beans.
No
right?
shit.
Yeah. Dominican and Puerto Rican beans should be the same way, but Dominicans cook slightly different than Puerto Ricans. I think they use, everyone makes this thing called recao, which is garlic, Bonnie Bell peppers, cilantro. They make this green concoction.
What is happening?
It's like an instant fucking flavorful pellet. Back in the day.
You should have a goddamn bench press in here if I'm going to feel like this. I can't be sitting here getting moved with these descriptions like this.
Well, back in the day, your grandmother.
Hold a plank position.
Your grandmother, your aunt, they used to get up at 6 in the morning, fucking grate garlic, you know, from an old grater. There was no La Machine. There was no food processor. Grate that shit. And they used to make it in batches. And then what my aunt would do is she'd put it in like ice cube trays, freeze it, and whenever she's gonna make rice and beans, she'd drop one of these motherfuckers. It's like padow, you know, flavor shit. It's like padow, boom. The rice goes, you know, the rice is all fucking dried up and hard with the water, it goes, me liberaste. And the beans are like, fuck it, we're gonna have a party. You know what I mean? But in my neighborhood, they got these Dominican restaurants, and the thing that I love about them is that the food is off the fucking hook, right? But the Dominican ladies that they hire, it's almost as if they go to a special website for fucking tall, dark-skinned Dominican bitches with fat asses. Like, perfectly plump fat asses. So when they're scooping...
I think that's the name of the website.
Dude, when they're scooping the fucking rice and the beans, you see this... You see... I'm thinking about
shit's
the
moving.
Food. Dude, I'm thinking about the food I'm gonna eat, right? But all I see is this, like... amazing, like creation that, like, you know, only like if you don't believe in God, this is one of the times that you would
you
only
go
God
in.
Could create something like this, and you're like, fuck, and it's jiggling, you know, it's like swish, 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 swish from side to side, it jiggles as she's taking the rice and beans. So one time I was there, and you know, I couldn't wait for the fucking food to come out. Like, you know, I'm fucking hungry, right? So she comes out and she goes, you want white rice or yellow rice? And I always go for the yellow rice because it's, you know, white rice is white rice and they're both good. So I go for the yellow rice and, you know, the usual question, red beans, pink beans, or, you know, pinto beans, whatever the fuck, because we do have pinto beans. Puerto Ricans have pinto beans, but not like, we don't prepare them.
They're almost like chickpeas, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you're talking about gandules. Gandules.
Okay. Yeah.
In fact, that was it, gandules. They're called pigeon peas.
Yeah.
Pigeon peas. And yo, if you're straight up Boricua or Dominican, you never give up an you never pass up an opportunity for gandules. I mean, that's just like that, you know. But it's a mature thing, right?
Yeah,
it's
like tomatoes.
Yeah,
no kids eat tomatoes.
Yeah, when you're a kid and your grandmother made that, you're like, this is disgusting. You know what I mean? When you get to be like 18, 19 years old, and you know, you get offered gandules from a fat ass Dominican woman, you're like, yeah, mommy, yeah, whatever you say. So she brings me this big plate of yellow rice, fluffy. I can smell it because it just, you know, and she brings me this bowl of gandules. And on the gandules, it said, welcome to Nestorius Public Radio, Mick Betancourt.
This motherfucker.
You motherfucker!
He hyped it so much.
You motherfucker! Shit that Mick Betancourt does on his fucking show. And I listened to his shows. First of all, I listened to his shows. And before I was on his show, I was like, yo, you ain't gonna do that shit to me. So he does this bullshit.
You got me. I got you.
So he does this fucking hype intro. He calls it a hype intro. And I said, nah, you ain't gonna pull that shit on me. But what he does is he engages you in this story.
You love me in, you motherfucker.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, pow! So welcome.
I'm like, man, we came off the tracks 30 seconds in.
Welcome. Welcome to the Nestorius Public Radio, Mick Betancourt.
That was great, man.
All right, that was hot. That was hot.
That was a fucking 10.
That was a 10. Thank you.
That was great.
That's the highest level of complimentary verbiage from anybody I've ever heard.
I was so excited. I thought she was slipping you a secret note.
Yeah.
And you were going to hook up behind the spot.
She did. She slipped me a secret note. Welcome to the Nestorius Public Radio show, Mick Betancourt.
Oh, damn, I got duped.
You got duped.
I got duped. Hype intro.
And I was listening to one of your shows just before, earlier today, with, who the fuck was I listening
Brett
to?
Ernst.
Brett Ernst, a comedian, who I think I'm going to have on my show. Brett Ernst, the comedian, but he was also a... well, I know him from the comedy circuit here in L.A., but he was also a guest judge on KTLA when I won the KTLA Find Me Comic. And so I was listening to the show, and I'm waiting for the hype intro. And there you go with the fish scales and shit. I said, it's coming. I know it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, I was listening to the show because I'm like, how can I fucking hype intro?
No, that was good. That was perfect.
Because he hears them all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One guy got crazy. He had people rappelling from a roof. I did a show and he after a while.
It was too obvious.
Yeah, it got super crazy. And then I'm like, I think, but I'm going to let him have it because he got about, it was five minutes. 7 minutes, 8 minutes, then he got me. But it was crazy. There were midgets and scaffolding. And,
I could have.
No, yours was legit. You lulled me in, man. You know it was about food, and we went in and flavors and the ice cubes and the thing. I was fucking.
But I could have snazzed it up. She dropped the ladle of rice on the floor. She bent over and she had a G-string. And that's all the G. You know, I could have flavored it. You know what I mean? But I wanted to keep it in true Mick Betancourt form. You know. Words magically appeared on the soup bowl. You know what I mean? That's your shit. That's your shit.
So Mick,
you got I got so much shit to talk about you. I mean, you're from Chicago. I started with Chicago because
that's how you got me in, because it's a real story. That was beautiful.
Of course. That's the commonality between you and I. But I do love Chicago.
Yeah.
I went to Chicago. Wow, maybe 13 years ago for a film festival, for our first film, my wife and I's first film, and I fell in love with it. Now, when I went to Chicago the first time, it was dead in the middle of fucking winter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like 3-4 feet of snow. Like, you fucking walk, foop, and you just disappeared, knee deep. You know what I mean? But I still loved it, because I do love snow. You missed
it. Yeah, man.
LA, what's today's date? Today is February...
It's 86 today.
February the 12th, okay? In New York City, there was massive snowstorms, snow up the ass, freezing. Not a very pleasant time to be out. Not a very pleasant time to be out and about. We're in Los Angeles. It was 80 fucking 4 degrees today.
Yeah.
In my backyard, it was 84 grados. Motherfucker, okay? It was nice and warm.
Yeah.
And after a while, when you're in L.A., it's like, ah, fuck, the sun again. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's hard to be depressed in L.A. You know
it
what
really
I mean?
It really is.
If you suffer from depression, you come out and the sun's always out. It's like...
it almost makes the depression worse.
It makes it worse.
Because you're like, God damn it.
Makes it worse because the outside doesn't match the inside. You know what I mean? So a lot of times I just wind up staying in the house, don't open the fucking shades, and just be like, I don't give a fuck. I'm Hold tired on. Of this. You got a tweet? You got a fucking...
No, I want to say hello to Liam. Right Liam, now, he's Liam. Watching my boy Liam.
Liam, what's up, Liam?
You want to give him a look in the... Hold on, he's watching you, man.
Hold on. Liam, I'm going to give you a big up. Shit.
Oh, Liam.
Liam. Big up, Liam, you motherfucker, y'all. You fucking Irish leprechaun fuck that's probably
it's
black.
My son, you idiot.
Oh, that's your son. Oh, shit. I thought that was your boy. Hold on a second. Big up, Liam. Unfortunately, this is live, so I can't take it back. But my apologies, Liam. I'm a little bit crazy. But you probably knew this already because your father was on my show.
Oh, he knows. He's heard it all already.
Yeah. So you're... Huh? How many? Oh, 10 people. That's like last week. 10 people watching.
That's great.
That's because I got you, Mick. But anyway, Liam, I was listening to the Brett Ernst episode, and in the Brett Ernst episode, you were saying my son is in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So that show was done in September.
Yes.
So he's in the middle of sixth grade.
He's in the middle
See,
right
I pay
now.
Attention, Liam.
Ah, look at that.
I smoked a lot of crazy shit in my life, but I pay attention. Sixth grade, so that means, hold up, sixth grade, you're 11. You're about 11 years
old. He's 11,
old.
Yeah.
Bam! You don't stop. I want the body rock. Can you motherfucking stop? Ha! 11 years old, Liam. All right, well.
It's crazy.
Your dad
think about when we were 11. Bananas.
My life when I was 11 years old, it was very difficult. Very difficult.
Same here, man.
I was in a boarding school. In fact, segue, fuck it. So I'm looking at your episodes and I'm like, let me see my show. The episode I did. My episode was episode 67, if I'm not mistaken, on the Mick Betancourt show, which by the way, you know what? I'm going to play your theme song. I like your theme song. How's that?
That's Garrett Plummer, by the way. Cut this.
Drama, all heart, and now it's time for the Mick Betancourt Show. You know the Mick Betancourt Show.
Let's go.
Anyway, that's my man's show. I wanted to talk about your podcast. I have Thanks, an outline, man. And it's going to go all over the place.
I didn't mean to.
But no. That was part of it. It was just not necessarily going to happen at this particular time.
You got a LOL from Liam right there.
Oh,
bang.
Shit, Liam. What's up, baby? Damn. All right. Well, that's huge. At 11 years old, to get a big up from Liam and shit, that's
there
large.
You go.
That's
you got
large,
a stamp
man.
Of approval.
Yo, I'm trending. You know what I'm saying? I'm trending. I got Twitter followers and all sorts of shit. Anyway, so episode 67, Nestor Rodriguez, because Brett Ernst was episode 63. And so anyway, I was looking, so when you go to iTunes, you could actually see the popularity.
Yeah.
And I was looking, I was just, you know, I'd start getting like, you know, penis envy and shit, because my episode doesn't have that much popularity. It's got like two little lines and shit. Meanwhile, I think there's like 10 or 11 lines you can get. Then I'm looking at all your guests, and I see Joey Coco Diaz. And fucking Joey Coco Diaz, he's been on your show two or three times, and every one of his fucking bars are filled up. So he's got the popularity rating of a fucking Dominican hooker that's serving rice over the counter in my neighborhood.
With chickpeas,
right? So, and I know, here's the Joey Coco Diaz story. So now, I'll connect it. Boarding school. One time I met... I'm at the Improv in Hollywood, and I know Joey, you know, hey, how you doing? Yeah, Uncle fucking Joey, you know what I'm saying? You cocksucker. Yeah. So
it's a
Joey.
Great impression. Yeah, he sounds just like him.
Hey, let me tell you something, Joey, you fucking cocksucker. Uncle Joey's over here, you know what I'm saying? You cocksucker. Anyway, Joey and I, so I talked about this bullshit, and I said, I went to school in Kearney, New Jersey, boarding school. He said, wait a minute, Kearney, New Jersey? I said, yeah, you know, boarding school, Sacred Heart School for Boys. So it turns out that Joey went to the same boarding school that I went in. So when I was entering sixth grade around Liam's age, right, in all nun boarding school, all boys school, he was probably exiting. He just probably graduated. He's a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have Joey on my show. But in the meantime, you got to go to iTunes and check out The Mick, M-I-C-K, Betancourt Show, B-E-T-A-N-C-O-U-R-T Show. Fucking great show. I definitely want to talk about your show. Great show. And while you're there, you cocksuckers, make sure you go to episode 67, all right, and fucking listen to my episode.
It's a good one.
Listen to my episode on The Mick Betancourt Show. It's a very good show.
It's a great episode.
It's a great episode, if I'm going to say so myself, which I'm going to segue into your show.
Cool.
Like, your show, you know what I love about your show is the ease in which you, without a program, meaning you don't have any kind of script and anything like that, you have this conversation, of course, with the hype intro that you do, and then you guys start talking, and you have a way of, and most of the ones I'm talking about are men, you have a way of engaging men into just what it is to be a man, what it is to be successful, you know, this dialogue that you don't really hear anywhere. And it's funny because naturally, as guys, we have fucking, you know, stupid, crazy shit that we do as we grow up. But you obviously have access to a lot of entertainment people because you're a writer. You've been a writer. You directed. You're an actor. But you've been a writer, and we're going to get into your writing stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you have a fucking IMDb page of... And by the way, producer is just a fancy word. Title for writer.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you start out writing.
In the writer's room.
In the writer's room, or if there's no room, you start out just writing. That's what you do.
In your closet.
In the, you know, if there's
touching your balls and then writing a word here and there. Not really.
I don't even know if you write.
Uh-huh. Not when you're doing that.
No, there's no time for writing. You're in the closet. It's closet time.
So let me run a few of these things, then you go back.
Okay.
So Mick is a producer, consulting producer on Chicago PD. That was one of your last credits, right?
Yeah.
Chicago Fire, previous to that, Ironside, and before that, Necessary Roughness, The Mob Doctor, Breakout Kings, Detroit 187, Law and Order Special Victims Unit. You were on Law and Order Special Victims Unit for a while. You wrote a lot of
three
episodes.
Seasons, yeah. 7.5 episodes. I was on for 3 seasons.
Holy shit! Yeah, that's a great show. I you know, Mariska Hargitay is amazing. Sweet.
Yeah.
Like class A number one class. Ice T.
Phenomenal
guy. Dude.
Yeah.
I interviewed Ice-T on the set of Law & Order SVU, one of my episodes. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I fucking don't remember. I got so many numbers. You know what I mean? I just don't. But go to iTunes, fucking look up Nestorius Public Radio, and just scroll down. It's the Ice.
You'll find it.
It's the Ice-T interview, Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap. He was in the middle of...
Promoting that, yeah.
He had just finished his
documentary. Okay, that's a great documentary.
It's a great documentary. It's an awesome documentary. So all these are all your credits, but so you have access to all these, you know, pretty heavy hitting entertainment people, from writers to producers. I mean, you got the guy who wrote Crash, right?
Yeah.
What's his
Academy
name?
Academy Award winner, Bobby Maresco.
Bobby Maresco, Academy Award winner, a script writer of the movie Crash. Great
also,
movie.
Also had Rudy Tomjanovich on, 5-time NBA All-Star, coach of...
There you go. There you go.
Two-time, was an NBA All-Star and then back-to-back coach NBA championship team. So you
have access to a lot of these people because of your status in the entertainment business, because you're a writer. But also, we share a common bond outside of that.
Yes.
We belong to a fellowship of nocturnal bowlers that a lot of people that a lot of people who come from all different walks of life,
exactly,
they join the league.
And also, oh, look at this, man. Shout out to my man, Daniel Wheatley, who just took a screen grab and toasted it.
Daniel Wheatley? He's not your other son, right?
No, no. This is a legitimate grown man. You can give him a legit shout out.
So this is a Big up Daniel Wheatley. That's his name.
Daniel
Big up Daniel Wheatley. Big up. Yeah. So that's the other thing. I'm going to go all over the place.
But
the other thing that I love that you do is that you encourage your listeners on your podcast to engage. Which, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to talk to us live, the number is 1-800-893-9562. 1-800-893-9562.
There you go.
2. We got $5 million so far for our diabetes collection. We only need 2 more dollars, so don't hesitate to call in 1-800-893-9562. We need hookers, we need strippers, and G-strings, okay? Back to the show. Anyway, so you do this thing where you tell, you encourage your listeners to do screen grabs, to give you a 5-star review, right?
Yeah.
On iTunes. Right, because you can post a review and do a screen grab, and then email you the screen grab along with their name, address, and their shirt size, and you send them the Mick Burton Court Show T-shirt.
Yeah, I did that for the first year and a half. We don't do that anymore.
Right. What do you do now?
What I do now is I just had somebody design the shirt, and so you can buy a shirt. You can go to stoymerchandise.com. It's the first thing that I sold. But what I've done is the person that won the design contest gets $1 for the perpetuity of the shirt. So every shirt that sells, that guy, Todd LaValle, gets $1.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Is that your new logo with the outline of your face? Is that the shirt?
No, that's a guy that was like a runner up for the shirt.
Okay, got it.
So I actually got to kick that guy some money on the PayPal.
Got it.
But my show really is about the listeners, man, and the relationship that I've developed with people all over the world.
Yeah, I know.
And it's been absolutely incredible. And I can't take a lot of credit for... Probably 25% of my guests have been, the listeners have said, you should have this guy on your show, you should have this woman on your show.
Right.
And then they just activate themselves.
So somebody says, well, you should have President Obama on the show. So how do you get
the listeners like blow their Twitter up. And
really?
They just like, they get this idea that they want to hear somebody on the show because they like my interview style.
Really?
And then the next thing I know, they're like, I'll start to see my Twitter feed fill up. Like last week, it was Bob Odenkirk. They're like, you got to have Bob Odenkirk on the show.
And so they tweet all this shit, and then Bob Odenkirk has to come out of his closet from jerking off, and he has to call you?
Well, I'll take the Twitter name, and I'll say, hey, a lot of people have been reaching out to you about doing the podcast. I'd love to have you on. And 50% of the time, it works. Uh-huh. But every week, it's somebody new outside of me reaching out within my own community.
Right.
But then, as I told you and I tell all the guests, I say, hey, you've just experienced this. If you had a positive experience and you think you have anybody in your social circle that you think would like to come on the show, let me know. And I'm totally open to all suggestions.
Right.
That includes the guests and that includes the listeners.
Right.
Because I was talking, to answer another one of your questions, like when you and I were kids, our lives were very similar in certain ways, different than others. But there was no, from where I was when I was a kid, I didn't know anybody who was experiencing what I was experiencing or feeling what I was experiencing. I wasn't mature enough as a kid. But when I came into those volatile teen years in my early 20s, where I was really starting to do some damage to myself and to the people around me, even when I wanted to change, I felt that I was not going to be a part of the world. I felt like I was an outlaw, I was an outcast, that people got some kind of rule book that I never got.
Right.
And that they know how to lead their lives. Mm. And even if I do get my shit together, which I didn't know how.
Right. How could you?
It was all too mysterious.
Right.
Because there weren't men or women that were saying, you know what? Things did not go well for me. I made mistakes.
Right.
And things were done to me, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to process them.
Right.
I did A, B, and C. I felt like this going through A, B, and C. I had many crises of confidence, many real trials and tribulations that I never thought I could get through. Here's the actions I took to get through this. Now, I'm not talking about sobriety.
Right.
I'm talking about being a human being.
Right.
Just getting along with everybody.
Right.
Figuring out who you were, being okay with that, and bringing something to the table, a part of society.
Mm-hmm.
Not this kind of chronic, anxious apartness.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I wanted this through the podcast. If it was going to be funny, it was going to be funny. If it was going to be sad, it was going to be sad. But the overall through line was, what's your experience as a human being? What is your truth? Mm-hmm. Good, bad, and indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
When did you discover what you're passionate about? I've had a hairdresser on. I've had a hitman on.
Yep.
I've had an NBA coach on. Yep. Writers, directors, actors, smugglers.
Mm-hmm.
I do an anonymous series.
Mm-hmm.
So people that feel like they can't even come on because they're going to get so vulnerable and raw.
I want to do one of those anonymous series.
Yep.
I'll be like, no, well, let me tell you something, Papi. You know, it's like when I was trafficking AK-47 with 50 pounds of cocaine, you know, it used to be really fucked up. But, you know, then I had to get my own Air Force.
fleet of airplane, you know, and we come down and then it was easy, you know, easy peasy. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Listen to the anonymous smuggler. I have an anonymous smuggler on here.
No, I will.
It was bananas. They bought the town's aquarium.
I'm listening to your episodes, you know, by people that I know. Yeah. But that's one of them that I want to listen to, and I want to listen to the anonymous soldier.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'll listen to them all because I do, like you said, I do like your interviewing style. Plus, I learn, right? I've learned from you, like, because I've been doing this podcast for close to 2 years, maybe even a teeny bit more. I can't remember because I burnt a lot of brain cells. So sometimes I got to go back and see how many episodes I've done and when the fuck. I can make references to them, you know, when I do a show summary.
Sure.
But you know, you're doing a podcast. This is something that no one, you know, you don't go to school for this. Although I'm sure at some point in life there will be a curriculum, you know. Do you want to waste your life? Are you aspiring to nothing? Do you want to kill 1 hour and never get paid? Well, join the Los Angeles Podcast Institute. You know what I mean? So no one teaches you how to. This is plug and play.
You jump in.
You jump in. Which I'll do a plug for Skid Row Studios, which is, so you do your podcast in your office on Ventura Boulevard, and you record it with a dynamic
Zune H4 and two Shure mics,
right? Which is a great recording, a digital recording device, and so you have two chairs, no big deal. But then you have to, you know, extract that digital audio. You have to send it to a friend of yours. He edits it, he cuts it, he puts the intro music and all that other stuff. Excuse me, I'm all of a sudden burping. But the beautiful thing about, for instance, here in Skid Row Studios is that I just show up.
Yeah.
I have the beautiful Jenny right there, Jenny Guzman. She fucking sets up the audio. She sets up my video, you know? She sets up my video. You know what I mean? She puts the little fucking Facebook.com/ Nestorius Public Radio that I can't see here, but I know it's done over there.
Nice.
So basically it's plug and play. She fucking turns on, it's automated. My intro music comes on. I fuck up live like I did earlier, right? When I was supposed to do it. And it's all good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then once the show's over, I have a link where I just do my summary, the name of the episode, what it is, and yada, yada. And then once I submit it, Jenny submits it and it goes to iTunes. It's as easy as that. You know what I mean?
It's more of a creative issue, I think, when you do it, because people graduate with broadcast degrees, right?
Yeah.
And they have that sweet voice. You can do the late night. And it's coming to see.
Hello, I'm Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
And
Dave Brubeck's Take 5 is coming up next, late night.
Right.
We're doing all jazz, midnight to 6 a.m.
Right.
Let's watch the sun come up together.
Baby.
It's like, you know, but I think the cool thing about podcasts are that you and I, as comedians, could clearly do morning zoo shit right now. We could be banging bits from the time the mic goes on till the time it ends.
Except we would have to watch our, you know, our F's and
but not
MS.
On but we, on podcast
no, I'm
we could
on, no I'm saying on the morning radio
oh yeah for
that's
sure
that's the only difference.
But I think the instinct for comedians or whatever instinct for anybody when you go into this podcast medium would, I guess what I'm trying to say, one of the best things about it is we can be real right now,
right?
We could just talk.
Yeah.
We could let it be silent.
Yeah.
We could be funny.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
If it was something else, if it was traditional broadcast,
right,
you'd have to be like, oh, Dester, what do you do to that buddy?
And that's what I'm like, big up, motherfucker. That's what I'm like, big up, boom, bra, 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 big up, motherfucker. funny story. That's how I started the big up and the air horn, because my first episode, I had my boy Rich, and my man Rich, who can talk a mile a minute about any fucking thing, anytime, anywhere, right? He freezes on me. He's my first guest.
No.
I'm like, so right, Rich? And he's shaking his head. Motherfucker, talking to the mic. So I'm like, yeah, so like when you did the Magic Castle,
because
my man works at a place here, I can't say that, and he's going, he's shaking his head.
No.
I'm like, so all of a sudden, I'm feeling like there's nothing coming at me.
Yeah.
It's almost like doing stand-up to the corner of a black wall, right? Like, ladies and gentlemen, and you're like, so then I was like, big up, you motherfucker, ya! Brah, brah! And it became this thing, you know what I mean? So it became this thing, so and I use it. And sometimes I'm like, and my other favorite one is this one. You know it, when bitches be coming up to you with some rice and beans and you say, that's good.
That's
said.
You know what I mean? So, you know, this thing becomes just like a fuck it, let's have fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some
you gotta
of my,
let it be what it's gotta be.
My favorite episodes are interviews. My favorite episodes, like when I get a guy like you, but you and I could do a fucking 3-hour episode because we have so many different threads and commonalities.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Puerto Rican, you know, at the Nocturnal Bowling League that we belong to. Stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
You know, you're a writer. My wife's a director. You know, we can go on and on and on for hours.
Yeah.
You know? But just to wrap up the your podcast thing is, I love that. That's what I love about your podcast. It's funny naturally. It's not pushed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Whereas I'm just a fucking wacko. So you never know what the fuck's going to come out of my mouth and, you know, whatever.
Which is great.
It's great. I love it. I love myself for that. You know, but it also contributes to depression a lot of times when I'm at home and, you know, I don't have my big up.
Filter.
Yeah, when I don't have my big up, motherfucker. I wake up, I'm brushing my teeth. I want to hit the air horn, but it's not there. The computer's not plugged in. I'm like, quack, quack,
you
quack.
Need to start carrying around a real air horn.
Then I get
with you.
That's how I feel when I wake up in the morning brushing my teeth.
It almost sounded like that's what you were doing for my joke right there.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
Okay, I was telling you the joke.
No, the air horn. Burr, 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 burr. No, the air horn. I got to carry an air horn, but then my neighbors will go crazy. You know what I mean? So, so listen to the Mick Betancourt podcast. I guarantee you that you will get hooked on it. Being that you're a loyal listener to Nestorius Public Radio already, check out episode 67. It's my interview with Nestor, Mick, and Nestor Rodriguez. Yeah. And it was a very good...
It was great, man.
I have to say, I was driving from Phoenix one time. I was doing a show out there, and I listened. I had it playing. I was cracking the fuck up. But it was very interesting. I mean, we were going deep into places.
Oh, yeah. We went deep for sure.
We went deep for sure, and it was funny. And
that's what I love about doing that show. And a lot of people come on. They think it's going to be traditional interview, and I'm like, no, and I let them know in advance. Like, and what I like about this medium is that there's obviously no standards and practices. There's no...
Right.
You know, we say whatever we want, but I trade horses too, as opposed to a traditional interview where you're talking to somebody and you just let them talk. I don't bogart the interview, but I've lived a little bit of a life. So I share my experience and they go, oh shit, this is what we're talking about. We can go here.
Right.
That's where we're going.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
And you went there, which was great, which is why I think the interview is so good.
Yeah. But also I just like the what it is. It's not what it's like to be a man, how it is, but how'd you come up? How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah.
We all have that story. You know what I mean? We all have that story. Speaking of stories, how the fuck did you get into writing episodic TV? Like, how did that happen? You're a fucking, you know, you're Puerto Rican and Irish, so right there tells me that you had problems growing up.
That's not conducive to
you had
to
low self-esteem growing up, I could tell, because I did too, right?
It was rough, man.
It was rough.
I moved around a lot. My parents were teenagers when I was born.
Did you read a lot of books?
My uncle got, well, so I lived with my dad until... My dad was, my parents were 17 and 18. They were 16, 17 when I got pregnant, 17 and 18 when I was born. Dad died when I was 22. Mm-hmm. So that's when I left the Puerto Rican side and moved in with the Irish side when I was seven.
Yeah.
My mom's brother.
22?
My dad died at 22,
So you left the Puerto Rican side at 22?
No, seven.
Oh, seven.
He was 22.
Oh, got it. Seven.
Yeah, my pop was 22.
All right, so that wasn't that much damage. I mean, at 7 years old, you can still shake off that fucked up Puerto Ricanness.
Well, you know what was weird? There was a lot of drugs. There was a lot of violence.
What are you saying?
And
what are you saying?
So I'm writing this book, man. I told you about it before we started rolling. Called the Hardway. And it's I'm the first part of the book is that time in my life.
Mm.
And I remember when my dad died, my uncle. At the wake said, don't go to bed tonight because I'm going to knock on the door right around sunrise.
Right.
I'm going to come get you.
Right.
You can't tell anybody. You can't bring anything.
Right.
You're going to hear me knock on the door. You're going to open the door and we're going.
Right.
And I'm like, where are we going? He's like, I'll tell you tomorrow. So
this
knock
is
on the
Irish.
Door. This is my mom's brother. Yeah, my Irish uncle.
Irish uncle.
So.
Because the Puerto Rican dude wouldn't have explained it to you.
No,
he would have just like at 2 a.m. knocked. He would have broke through the window, grabbed you by the hair, taken
you. Why
are
you crying?
And you're
why
like,
you crying?
Exactly, why are you crying? And you would have been like, what the fuck's going on? Without saying those words, and you would have been damaged for the rest of your life. So 2 a.m. comes, he knocks, he taps on the window.
Well, you know, at the wake, my dad's girlfriend found out she was pregnant.
Ugh.
So it was, you know.
So
was,
you have another brother.
This was ghetto shit, man. This was like, so you have, we were.
Of course.
I have a half brother who I never met. Last year on Ancestry.com, I connected the dots.
Oh, wow.
I get a name. I Google the name. First thing that comes up, mugshots.com.
Yeah.
His mugshots.
Yeah, like, of course.
Damn it.
Well, I mean, the
God,
recipe was there, right?
Damn it. Yeah, well, here, my uncle, so he comes and he gets me and we're leaving and he goes, we're walking to the car. My aunt, my dad's sister, who was, he had two sisters, Nanette and Nancy.
Boricuas.
Nancy was good kid, going to nursing
collegiate
school. Yeah, trying to keep her head on amidst all this chaos. Mm-hmm. Nanette was a junkie. Mm. So she went around.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy comes, she goes, we're never going to see him again, are we? And my uncle's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped in the car, and that's when I realized, oh, shit, we're going. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, we're, I'm not coming back.
No, you're never
going
to see him again. We're going to Hollywood. He's going to become a big, famous TV writer, and that's it. We don't know you anymore, so say your goodbyes now.
Well, you know, it's funny. We get in the car, and my uncle's like, if you would, 2 weeks, you'd be dead if you stayed in that house. He's like, no one, your dad was the only one working.
Sure.
There's, you would not have
so
survived.
So what happened to that Puerto Rican side of your family? Nanette obviously passed, right?
Never heard, man. I never went back to Humble Park. I moved to, so I'm hysterical because I don't even know my mom.
Sure.
I don't know what she looks like. I don't know what type. And so my uncle's like, we're going to this place called Berwyn, which
so
is.
So you never had met your mom? You
were. She left when I was two.
Oh, wow.
And so I would stay some weekends at my grandmother's house, my
your
mom's mother's house,
yeah.
And my uncle lived at that house.
Mm-hmm.
But those memories are very, you know, I was a kid, you know what I mean?
Pre-7.
Yeah, pre-7. And I don't remember my mom at all during this time.
Jesus.
But also during that time, my other uncle got murdered. My mom's brother. So
another
my dad
one.
Died, and then my mom's brother got killed.
Mm.
So that side of the family's fucked up. So when my uncle was driving me over to my mom's, he's like, there's a YMCA here. They got a pool. You could play basketball. There's kids everywhere.
It's like,
so,
pool?
Yeah, he was, and I started thinking, fuck.
He's selling you shit.
Oh, he's because I was hysterical.
And there's
an
ice cream truck.
Yeah,
and
ice cream, right?
And there's click-clacks and hoppity-hops.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of board games you can play, Mickey.
You push a button and lemon drops fall from the sky.
Yeah. Really? Lemon drops?
Why are we going faster?
Really?
Yeah, so anyway, I went over. I'll speed this up. But anyway, I went over. I live with my mom, and she was.
So she left at 2. Why did she leave at 2, and why didn't she take you?
Oh, she was nuts, man. She was bananas.
So now you're living with your mom.
Reluctantly,
your uncle,
I think, yeah, because my dad was
so
dead.
So why
and I
now?
Think,
why now? Why now? Why does she want to have you now?
I don't
was
think
it
she
her
had a,
idea,
I don't,
or was it your uncle's idea?
No, I don't think she had a choice because they, the
your
custody,
uncle was like, fuck
the
that.
Custody went to.
Got it.
It couldn't have let me with
got
a junkie.
Got it.
Sure,
yeah,
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm moving with her. She would take me out drinking with her. I wound up moving upstairs with my grandfather, her dad, because I think he saw.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
He dies, and I stay in his apartment, and my mom's downstairs drinking. She winds up moving out, and then I live in this two-flat kind of on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I enroll myself in high school, middle of my freshman year, and I'm living on my own. I'm working at a restaurant at night to eat. I move in with my uncle again.
Mm-hmm.
Not again, but I move in. I call him, and I'm like, I'm going to either become a ward of the state.
Mm.
Or can I crash on your sofa?
Exactly.
And so,
hey, do you have any more of those lemon drops, Uncle?
Yeah. You know, I keep hitting this button.
I know I'm 25, and I shouldn't
said,
be asking for lemon drops, but I need some lemon drops.
I thought you said you don't want to drink,
so
Spider.
So you go back to your uncle, and you're about 20-something around?
No, I'm 14.
Oh, wow.
So I move
middle
freshman year. Here, it gets even better. So I'm moving with him, and his apartment is his son's just born. We get evicted out of there. We move back into my place
the double flat. Oh, yeah, we're moving on up.
It was fucking crazy.
To the side.
Things don't burn in the kitchen.
Okay, so you're back at the flat, and now your uncle takes over the rent.
Well, there was no, because my grandfather owned it. That's the only reason I got to live there for free.
Oh, so when you left, what happened to it? It was just
stayed. My mom actually wound up moving back in downstairs once I was gone.
Got it.
Then we finally got enough dough to get an apartment in Forest Park, finished high school. I was going to go in the Marines because that was it. There was no...
They got unlimited lemon drops
there. College, man.
You got unlimited lemon drop underwear, lemon drop socks.
I wanted to get a sword.
Yeah, why not? The Marines.
The Marines aren't fucking around.
Nice
you get a
fucking
sword.
Haircut, too, and a sword.
Big brass buttons.
It's almost like the Marines gives you this promise that you don't have to work towards being a man. You just sign the paper. 3 months later, you're fucking thin, slim, disciplined.
Yeah, you're a killing machine. You get to eat whenever you're hungry.
They don't tell you about boot camp, Paris Island. I
went to my recruiter's name was Harley McPherson. I hate using real people's names. That was his name. He was a shit-kicking motherfucker. Sure. And he's like, they're going to kick your ass, boy.
Sure.
They're going to make you a man.
So you did.
No, I was going to go in, and then an English teacher, unbeknownst to me, submitted some of my writing, and I got a last-minute scholarship to college.
Wow.
And from my writing. And this guy saved my life with his counselor in collaboration with a counselor who also saved my life in high school.
So where'd you go to college?
I went to college for 1 year. And just
sure. But where?
Loyola University.
All right. That's out here. Yeah.
No, in Chicago, Rogers Park.
Oh, they have Loyola out there too.
Yeah, they have a Loyola here. They have a Loyola there. They have a Loyola in.
That's Marymount Loyola. Is that what it is?
No. Loyola Marymount, I think, is a high school out here. Loyola, there's a Loyola in Chicago and a Loyola in New Orleans.
College,
university.
Are those Christian universities?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think the one here is also Christian.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I wound up. I went for freshman year, didn't continue, started doing stand-ups, started a production company where I'd rent out venues in Chicago.
1 year you went to college?
1 year.
Drank your fucking whatever scholarship.
And I didn't, it was all mysterious to me, man. I didn't feel 18. I didn't think that I was the same as those other kids. It was the first time that I had taken I knew I couldn't go back and live with my aunt and uncle because they had no... There was no money to do that. You know what I mean?
You had already moved past that, so the next thing you could do is go move up, so to speak.
That was it. And so. I knew.
So how did you get into writing for episodic TV? So you started doing stand-up.
Yeah. So I start doing stand-up. I get discovered in 2000 as a comedian, or 2001.
Where?
As a comedian in Chicago at the Chicago Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never any industry in Chicago. This was before there were, 10 shows shooting there. There were no shows shooting there. There was like one casting. You were doing it because you wanted to be funny.
Empire shoots in Chicago.
It's crazy.
Empire is supposed to be set in New York City.
I know.
And they shoot it in Chicago.
The Fox
show. Most of you guys know what I'm talking about out there. Empire with Dennis Howard and Taraji P. Henson.
Well, there's CineSpace. There's huge studios that they're building. I mean, it's incredible.
Chicago's fucking amazing, man.
None of that shit was around when we were doing it. Right. Every actor, every comedian, every writer wanted to be a great comedian, wanted to be a great writer.
And go out to L.A., though. You'd have to go out to L.A. or New York.
Yeah, we weren't even thinking of that.
Right.
Like, I just wanted to be in Chicago, and I wanted to be funny, man.
What made you become a stand-up comic?
Honeymooners, I was always a class clown, but I was always, to answer your question, my uncle would expose me to all the great works of literature. He would just show me Shakespeare. He would give me Hemingway, the Nick Adams short stories, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he would, and then I watched The Honeymooners with my grandfather, and he would
laugh.
He was like, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to punch you in your mouth.
Those are brilliant.
And I was like, holy, I was pulling guys off my mother. And so it was a way for me to laugh at this tragedy.
Yeah, sure.
And I didn't even know. And then I heard Richard Pryor and I was like, God damn, because I lived in Peoria for a minute too.
Wow.
And fuck, man, Peoria's rough.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Peoria, just stick your finger in your ass and stick it in your mouth.
Well, Illinois is huge. And there's many different parts. Yeah. I mean, Chicago is just one fucking city. There's all sorts of backward ass fucking places.
Peoria was rough, man.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I got discovered. I wasn't going to move to... So an agent's like, we'll represent you. And I'm like, oh, great.
Interesting.
I wouldn't go. I enjoyed the stage time I was getting in Chicago. I also had a city job, man. Wound up getting a job as a Teamster. I was plowing the runways out at O'Hare. Phenomenal gig. Great group of people.
Plowing
snow? Yeah, yeah.
What kind of job? What is that called? What position?
A Teamster. Truck driver. I was a truck driver.
Yo, you fuck your wife up. What's your job position? I'm a Teamster. Yo, you grill burgers? Yo, I'm a Teamster. That's just like a fucking umbrella name.
No, I was a truck driver, but I was driving trucks for Home Depot, like 16-speed legit trucks for years before that.
Got it.
And I could go up in
about 3 minutes.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Left in the whole show?
Sorry, yeah.
So anyway, here's what happened. I moved to L.A. I want to move in L.A.
So hold on. So you got an agent, and you said, but I didn't want to go. Go where?
To L.A.
Oh, that was the next
one. I wanted to stay in Chicago. He's like, dude, you got to
move. Come to L.A.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
So you bit the bullet, so to speak, and you came to
LA. I started doing stand-up on TV, but I couldn't get any comedic acting parts. Mm-hmm. I got Comedy Central, NBC, could not buy, but all this, because I looked like a plumber from the 20s,
right.
I started getting a lot of dramatic work.
Right.
As an actor. So I book a pilot. I wound up meeting the creator of that pilot, and the pilot doesn't go. He and I talk 6 months later.
Interesting.
And I just tell him this idea for this world and characters that I have. And now I'm broke. I'm on my way back home to Chicago because
You're on your way back.
And so I pitch him this idea, and we wind up selling it. It was like a fucking
what
miracle.
What show was this?
It was a pilot that they never shot called Duke
City. Sold it.
Yeah, we
sold it. So real quick, you can sell a pilot idea. They'll buy the idea, right? And then they'll hire one of you guys to write it. And then it has to go to network. Like, do you want to produce it?
Well, the network buys it, and then ultimately decides whether they're going to shoot it. At which point you wind up casting it and doing all...
And waste 500 actors' time, giving them hope. They get cast, they get the pilot. Once it's shot, they're like, you know what? Nah. We don't want it. All the fucking actors got to go. You got paid for one day of shooting. That's it. Or if you're a good if you're a famous actor, you might get a contract or whatever. Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough, man. But that was my entry into the game, and that was about 10 years ago.
Wow. Talk about synchronicity, right?
Crazy, man.
Being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Being aware that that's what's happening.
Real quick, I mean, dude, the time flew.
It did.
And we're definitely going to have you back again.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, no, we'll definitely have you back again because, I mean, I wrote like a fucking... Like a synopsis.
We got to like two things,
what
man.
What do you call that?
Like, how'd you get into the writing? When I was a kid.
When you register for college, they give you an outline for the class. What is that called?
A syllabus.
A syllabus.
Yeah.
I wrote a fucking syllabus here, and I just the only thing we went through your name. And your student ID. That's basically all we covered here. You know what I mean? But I do that. You know why? Because one thing I've learned about doing a show is you're better to be over-prepared than not have anything. That's why,
100%.
Going back to that story of the... Big up your bomba class!
Bra, bra,
bra, bra. Anyway, so real quick. So I just thought about this when I was reading something and James Bond... James Bond, the what is it? Daniel Craig.
Yeah,
they released a little teaser of the new James Bond. Who was your favorite James Bond actor?
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Why?
I just like
he's got the Scottish accent.
I've never seen. Yeah, I mean he just had this weird. Although the Daniel Craig, I think is a very close second.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
For
no,
sure.
No, a lot of people would say Sean Connery or Roger Moore.
Yeah, I like Sean Connery. He just seemed a little bit more mischievous to me and more spy-like.
Manly.
And I like Daniel Craig because he seems...
He's damaged.
Well, yeah, he just is going to fuck and... We're going to do this.
He looks like he's going to fucking snap every fight.
He's like
any
a kamikaze
second.
Pilot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how he's approaching it as opposed to this... Although he has a little debonair and a little pomp and flash.
Yeah.
Not as much as Connery, I think, but it's a totally different character.
He's a totally different character. I love him. Anyway, look, that's our time. Check out the Mick Betancourt Show. It's on iTunes, and you have a website, right?
Yeah, mickbetancourt.com, Instagram's Mick Betancourt, and Twitter's at Mick Betancourt. So it's all...
Yeah, it's all there, but definitely check out the podcast, episode 67 with yours truly. It's a fucking dope-ass show.
First chapter of the book going up for free on the website this weekend.
Your first chapter of your memoirs.
Yes, the hard way.
Going up for free.
Yep.
On the MickBetancourt.com.
No, at MickBetancourt.com.
MickBetancourt.com. All right, that's our time, man. Give us a fucking review. Hold on a second. One thing I learned from you was if you take a screen grab, if you give a 5-star review on iTunes and you take a screen grab of it and you email it to me at Nestorius@yahoo.com or go to NestoriusPublicRadio.com. There's a mail link there. Send me a picture of that with your address and the size of your cock. I'll send you a condom with the Nestorius
Holy
Public Radio
shit.
Logo. All right? We out.
Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way.